456. Page 456, we're up to Pasuk Yudeis. Okay, there's no microphone today. The microphone is in the repair shop. Okay, we're up to Pasuk Yudeis. Okay, page 456, Perek Aleph, Pasuk Yudeis. Up to New Sugya, Ki, Chola L'Toyv Yosheves Morois. Yorad Ra Me'es Hashem L'Shar Yerushalayim. It's a hard Pasuk. Chola L'Toyv, the people who sit in the city of Morois. Morois simply means the name of a city, but obviously it's going to be subject over here to interpretation as what it's alluding to. Okay, they are chola l'toyv. They are ill for a good purpose. We have to see what that means. Okay, let's see. They yearn. It means chola means they yearn. Okay, Rash is going to say over here means that chola means a tikva. Okay, we'll read the mafarshim better than I can explain it. Kiyorad ra me'es Hashem l'shar Yerushalayim. Evil has come down from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to the gates of Yerushalayim. Let's see the Mitzvah's another Pasuk Yudeis. Kichol l'toiv asher ho'ir morois, the city. The word morois here simply means a city, the name of a city. It's not referring to bitterness. Normally we would assume the word morois comes from the word mar, which means bitter. That's not what it means here according to the Peshuta Shel Mikra. It means the name of a location. Nismala chal chola al hatoiv shohoya. Chal chola means terror. According to the Mitzudos David, he translates the word chola not illness, but chil kayole, loshon chil v'chal chola, terror, birth pangs, a shaking. They've been overcome with a sense of terror. Al hatoiv shohoya la me'osh shenevda mimena. And what's the terror? In recognition of the loss of what used to be in contrast to what is today. In the past, they were blessed with blessing, with toif, and now they see in front of their eyes everything they had has been taken away from them. That is the greatest tsar. The greatest tsar in this world is when you have something and it's taken away. If a person never had something, so he doesn't even know what he's missing. But when he's given something and it's taken away, or he is shown what he could have had, and it's denied from him, that is a cause of great, great pain. Greater what? Vatis chal chal. So there she trembled. Right there, Chazal says she trembled. You say so. You asking me? Yeah.
Became ill, or shot, or
okay, so Mr. White is saying something very interesting. He's quoting the pasuk about this chalchal hamalka moed. Now, there it says she shook. Esther hamalka, she trembled, she shook. Why is the... So according to what the Mitzvah David has just taught us, that it represents the principle that a person is given blessing and it's denied, what is the context in that pasuk? So the answer is very simple. A woman that becomes... The chazal in that pasuk make a drasha, sheparsa Esther Nida. Esther, she became a Nida. When a person is in a state of terror, their body malfunctions. It might not have been the time. What? Okay, whatever it is. But let us say we know a woman has a cycle. She has a cycle of 28 days, 29 days, whatever her cycle is, a fixed pattern. And when a woman is in a state of shock or terror, it can cause a sudden change. She did not expect, according to her biological clock, she would not become a nida for another 2 weeks. But now, due to an emotional upheaval, it can cause her to become a nida instantly. Okay, these are halachos of a woman when she gets engaged. She ordered, according to, I don't know the details, Dam chiba. If a woman becomes engaged, she's automatically, to a degree, I don't know all the pratim, considered a nida, just for accepting an invitation, a proposal. A woman at her vart, that's really what it means. A man proposes to a woman, and she says yes. She's a nida. Chazal say she becomes a nida. Oh, but there's no dam. She does not have any sensation of blood. No. You may not see it. She may not detect the blood, but it's there. Why? The excitement, this emotional reality, this reality that now she is getting married, she has found a chassan, it creates an excitement, it creates an emotional reaction, which affects her body in a way that she may not even realize, and it can cause her to have a tipa stam kechardol, it can cause her body to give forth blood, which makes her into a nida. Now, what are the parameters of this halacha bizman hazeh? I really don't know, but this is a chazal. I'm not making this up, this is a chazal. There is such a principle. Esther, now every time a woman becomes a nida, you have to appreciate the principle that it's a very great loss, because a woman has approximately 400 eggs. Each one of those eggs can potentially be a child. That means theoretically, a woman can have 400 children. Okay, theoretically. The average woman in this world, born time of a child, she's born with 400 eggs that are released monthly once she achieves the age of puberty until she reaches a certain age where it stops. 400 eggs. Theoretically, a woman can have 400 children. We once discussed the number 400 is not an accident. It's not a coincidence, because the highest letter in the Aleph Beis is the letter Tav. That's the last letter in the Aleph Beis, which is 400. Okay, after you go from 1 to 10, then you go from 10 to Kuf, 100, Reish, Shin, Tav. And that's it. It stops there. Okay, what happened to the remaining letters? There's a whole discussion about that. Not to now. But it stops at the letter Tav. Tav is 400. It's not a coincidence that the average number of eggs a woman has is 400. Each egg, can you imagine, each one of those eggs can be the Gadol Hadar. That egg can turn into Moshe Rabbeinu. If only a person would take seriously the potential that lies in the process of conception and in raising a child and in investing in a person, Yirah Shamayim, each one of those eggs can be the Gadol Hadar. When a woman does not conceive, what is it? When a woman becomes a nida, what does that mean? Basically, it means that there was a loss of potential. A woman, the egg was preparing itself, getting ready that it should be makabel, the zera of an ish, and for whatever reason, it did not happen, either because she's not married, or for whatever reason, Hashem did not see to it that this particular egg should develop. Whatever the reason, so it develops, and when it does not happen, it basically self-destructs, and it turns into blood, and a woman, the egg is released in the form of an isha becoming a nida. Okay, that's the process. So it's a very great loss. It's a loss. Now, if you want to go really off the deep end, Esther Hamalka, she was married to Mordechai. What would have been had they had children? No one ever talks about that. What would have been had Esther, Chazal said they were married. Now, what does that mean exactly? You know, there are different opinions, different midrashim, and Machal, I'm sure, can fill us in all the different details on the conflicting Mamori Chazal. But let's, for the sake of simplicity, assume now that Esther was indeed married to Mordechai, which is the Pasha she was. And if they would have had children, who knows? Can you imagine? Father is Mordechai, HaYehudi, and the mother is Esther, two holy people. What kind of children they would have had? The tragedy of Esther going to Achashverosh willingly didn't just mean, okay, now it's tragic, you have such a nice, happily married couple, and, you know, they get separated, they get divorced, they're not married. The tragedy is the children that would have come from this union are not going to happen. Because now that she's willingly going to Achashverosh to save Klal Yisrael, and that was a necessity, Hayra Shah, it was a necessity that she should go willingly, so now she's no longer permitted to return to Achashverosh.
Well,
That's Mordechai. That's the halacha. That's everyone discussed until this point in time when she went by herself, when she did not go, she was taken against her will. So oinis rachmana patre, she was raped. Basically, that's really what that's really how halacha views her matzav. They gathered all of the beautiful women. They brought them to Achashverosh. She did not go willingly. She was taken against her will. She was basically raped. So the halacha is, as long as she's not marrying a kohen, she's permitted. But now, when there's a sakana for Klal Yisrael and she's going to go into the palace to Achashverosh willingly, Chazal do not view this to be any longer a situation of an oines, which means mikanu lahaba, she's going to be forbidden to return to Mordechai. And how does that express itself in the Torah? Kasher mati avodati, and that's what she tells me. I'm going to go. You have to realize, Haman, I'm not coming back. And no one talks about this. No, you mamish, you never hear anyone talk about this. I'm not coming back. So we always say, oh, it's so sad. Such a beautiful couple. It's like a reality show, right? A reality show. Such a beautiful couple, and then, you know, gets rejected, right? The bachelor or the bachelorette, you know, rejects someone. And, okay, so, oh, how sad. They would have made such a lovely couple. No, that's not the issue here. The issue over here is, what about the children that would have come from this marriage? And the grandchildren? And the great-grandchildren? That's gone. Is it really Kedai? Is it really, maybe there's another way, a solution to save the Jewish people at this time, and it's not necessary to deny Klal Yisrael the offspring that would have come from Mordechai and Esther. But the decision was made, no. The decision was made that it's more important now that we should forget about what would have been, and Mordechai and Esther should sacrifice herself to go to Achashverosh and never be permitted to have children with Mordechai. Now, and then what happens? She proceeds. And as she proceeds, she comes into the palace and she gets scared. And as she gets scared, the terminology the pasuk uses is "vatischalchal hamalka meoid." She would simple article translation is something like she was terrified. She realized the great sakana she was in, and she was in. But Chazal go further. It doesn't just mean she was terrified; it means she became a nida. Unexpectedly. She was not scheduled to become a nida, let's say, make believe for 2 weeks, and now she became a nida because that's what happens when a person's body, when a person is terrorized, their body malfunctions and things happen that are not supposed to happen in the body. She became a nida. What is the significance of her becoming a nida? Well, becoming a nida means there was, at this moment in time, there was potential that egg that she was carrying could have become a human being, could have become a servant of Hashem. And it didn't happen. It imploded and it was released. Esther going into Achashverosh was Sheparsa Nida Vatischalchal, wasn't just she lost the egg. She lost her future generations that would have come through Mordechai. I know you'll tell him, but some say she did have children with Achashverosh, Daryovesh, Haparsi. Okay, very good. No one's denying, but ain't a doime, child from a goy, a child from Mordechai. Okay, the child from the child is Jewish, obviously, because the mother is Jewish. But how can you compare Esther having a child from a goy, Achashverosh, compared to having a child from the Gadol Hadar, Mordechai HaYehudi? Therefore, this potential is now lost forever. So, here it's very, Mr. Weiss, this is all your var, this is all when you started, Mr. Weiss. Vatischalchal hamalka me'oid, it's the word over here of, it's really what the Mitzudas David says. The words here are extremely powerful. Okay, Mitzudas David is always very, very innocent. You think he's just saying, he's giving you the simplest bare bones pshat. But many times not. Many times he opens up worlds. And he writes over here, what's this expression of over here? Ki chola litoiv. They were terrified. Litoiv. What does the word toiv have to do with terror? And he explains, the word chilchol is used when a person loses something good. It's not just, oh, you're afraid of death. I had in my possession blessing. I had a pearl. I had toif. And now, gone. And when you realize what you lost, it really shakes you up in ways that you can't imagine, that you never would have been shaken up. If I didn't know what you're losing, so you don't know. You don't, but you know what you could have had, what you did have, and it's gone. That void is what's called chel, chil, vatis chalchal, and in this expression of chola litoif, miloshen chil, terror, of what could have been. And the proof to this principle is, what we just spent 50 minutes on, is Esther Hamalka Vatischalchal Hamalka Me'oid Milameid Sheparsa Esther Nida. Chazal have nothing better to do than to go take this pasuk in the Megillah and all of a sudden tell you she became a Nida. I mean, they have nothing better to do with their time than to make up these things. Obviously, Chazal being Yoyre L'Oimkoy Shel Dovar, when Esther came into Achashverosh and willingly decided to do this, she now becomes forbidden to Achashverosh and Mordechai, and they will no longer be children. No longer being children, the elementary, the most elementary example of that tragedy of their not being children is when a woman becomes a Nida, because each one of those 400 eggs could have been a child.
Isn't that theoretical? Because what we have with Moshe Rabbeinu, his two sons, and his what came from Moshe, who was on a higher madrega than Moshe, and then you have Esav, and then you have Ishmael. I mean, so you're talking about what you're saying is, you know, it's really just theoretical. It's not.
It's true. You don't know what's going to be. You don't know what the future will bring. But you don't want to deny yourself the future. It's true. You don't know. It doesn't work out well for everyone. Right? Just because you think everyone, oh, this is a shidduch of the century. Right? The shidduch of the century, this boy and this girl, and what's going to come from them is going to be wow. And then you look back in time, what happened? Nothing so special. First of all, who are we to say? Okay, who are we? We don't know nothing. We think we know everything, but just because in our eyes, it looks like nothing special happened. I'm in the middle of having an argument with someone about I'm working on a project, a very important project, and it involves a family, a whole family, and there's one member of the family that's a little questionable. And many members of the family do not want this person to be included in this book, in this project. And the truth is, no one really knows. This is going back before the war. No one really has clarity. And there are some very serious questions. But there are some very beautiful things that are really wow. So it's a mixed bag. There are some very serious matters, and then there are good and bad. And the question is the balance, what to do. And some people in my family, the name should not be mentioned, zero. And I say, who are you to say? What are you God? Are you the judge? Why are you denying? Give him a legacy. Let the story speak for himself. Who are you to judge? There are some things that should be said, should be recorded, should be emphasized. Who do you think you are? Are you God? And they say no, but we've never done it. The questions are too serious. Maybe they're right. the issues are too painful, and we never did it now, so why start now? Why look for trouble? You never know, okay? No one knows nothing. Your saying is good, but at least one thing you cannot deny, the potential at the moment for what can be. Lefi, our eyes, you have a Mordechai, and you have an Esther. You only could imagine tzaddikim are going to come from them. Hashem has mysterious ways. All right, you're right. But the potential, we have a right, al pi halacha, to hope for the best. And that now is being shut, closed. And the example of the loss of potential of generations is captured in the principle of a woman becoming a nida. There is an egg that is developing, that is in position to develop into a human being, to be a servant of Hashem, and if the opportunity is not taken advantage of, it implodes, and it just is disposed of, it's released from the body. That is what was happening when Esther walked into the palace to Ahasuerus willingly. She was giving up her future generations, the potential of having children with Mordechai. And that is why Chazal have captured that thought in Vatischalchal Hamalka Me'oid Milameit Sheparsa Esther Nida. And Vatischalchal, here you can't say that drasha without looking at the words of the Mitzvah Stavit over here that says the word here is appropriate. It's the Pasuk also. It's put together with the word Litoiv. Wow, what could have been. And now look what has been taken away. Look what, and that is so frightening, it's so painful, it causes a person to shake. It's right in front of us. What? You ever heard? Are you have any record? As far, maybe there are children. Esther had children before. Maybe there are. I don't know. But for anything in the future, also, it's all. I'm saying a little bit strange because Chazal say, according to one opinion, she was 80 years old at this point in time. Okay, but that. But then you have to ask the question: what was Ahasuerus so obsessed with an 80-year-old woman? You don't hear that on the news. Okay, you only on the radio. What? On the radio, you hear boyfriend kills girlfriend in the love triangle every day. But you never heard the love triangle involve an 80-year-old woman. Sorry. I never heard on 10-10 Wins such a thing. What? What? Green. Yirak rakoisa. What does that mean?
That was part of the nest.
Olive.
That he was attracted to her, even though she was ugly, and I don't know, because I'll say that you're one of the most beautiful women.
Beauty is in the eyes of the beholder. Okay, let's go further. Let us move ahead in the pasuk. Okay, let's move ahead. Okay, next words in the Mitzvah Son on page 4, 5, 6, 4. Nice three numbers, consecutive numbers. How often do you have that? 456. Ki yarad, Ritzon Elohim Mar ki haro habo l'shar Yerushalayim. The evil has come to the gates of Yerushalayim. Hine yarad meis Hashem v'lo yibam b'mikra. Okay, he writes over here just a simple idea: is that nothing happens by accident. There's nothing as a coincidence. V'lo yibam b'mikra v'lechei nilku ima kol hamikaymos. That is why the next psuk in Pasuk Yud Gimel and onward, he's going to list a collection of cities that were destroyed. Everything that happens with precision from Hashem. Let's look at Rashi. Rashi, Pasuk Yud Beis. Ki chala l'toiv. Rashi disagrees with the Mitzudas. Even though Rashi came much, much before the Mitzudas, I always say it that way, because just as you all, I don't think I'm so ignorant, even though I am, but that the Mitzudas came only 500 years after Rashi, but we always like to learn the Mitzudas first. But Rashi writes a different interpretation. Ki kivisa l'toiva oisa hayoshevis b'shalva. So the word chola, it means yearning. He quoted a whole different word, yearning. Kivisa l'toiva oisa hayoshevis b'shalva. The one that in the past was living in a state of serenity. It yearns for It yearns for good. Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh, it yearns, it's optimistic. It's hopeful that everything will work out for the best. And Yerushalayim has good reason to assume that to be the case, because all of these years, it was never destroyed. It remained in existence for 800, how many years since they came into Eretz Yisrael, for 850 years. They were relative, well, not right away, it's not so, because until David conquered it, so it was a little bit later on, I take that back, but for a very, very long time, it was peaceful. Umamra al pi ha-neviim. Now, so notice here that he learns, Rashi, the word morois is not the name of a city. Now, I don't know if Rashi here is telling you a drush, but he agrees that really there is a pshuta shel mikra. Or maybe Rashi doesn't know. Maybe Rashi is saying the pshuta shel mikra means rebellion. According to the Mitzvah Stav, it is clear as day that the word morois means it's the name of a place. It's a city. There's a city. Mara. Name of a place. Kichol etav yesheves morois. There was a place called morois. That was the name of a place. And kicholo letoiv, and they were in extreme pain. They convulsed because of the goodness that was taken away from them. That's the yorad ra mi'es Hashem, and the ra that has come down from Hashem has traveled all the way to Yerushalayim. So certainly the people in Morois who are now living in Yerushalayim, certainly they have what to fear. If the mighty, powerful city of Yerushalayim has been destroyed, will be destroyed, so certainly is under attack. So certainly this little village called Morois, certainly they're going to be vulnerable to attack by Sancheirif. Rashi does not say that. Rashi says, first of all, the word chola does not mean they shook. It means they were still hoping for the best. Who was hoping for the best? The people of Yerushalayim. They, in the past, they lived in a state of serenity. They were hoping letoiv. Who? Yosheves, the people who really means Yerushalayim, but Hashem is mocking them. I'm not calling you people of Yerushalayim. I'm not calling you tzaddikim. I am calling you rebellious people, wicked people, people that rebelled against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Umamrom al pi ha-neviim. Ki yorad ro, hare ki ze mishamesh b'loshayim ela. But hi chola l'toiva, it may yearn for good, aval mibnei miroisa, but because of its evil, rebellion, yorad lo ra, evil is coming upon them, they're going to be destroyed. So if we read the pasuk again, according to Rashi, it means, ki chola l'tov yosheves morois. Although the people of Yerushalayim were hoping for the best, being that they're really nothing but wicked people who rebel against the prophets, ki, what will happen will be, yorad ra. Now the tense over here is not very, you have to really manipulate the tense. Yod is the past tense. And according to Rashi, it appears to be saying that it's really the present or the future. But sometimes the words of prophecy is interchanged, past, present, future. It's already a done deal. It's already been decided. It's as if it already happened. Yorad ra me'es Hashem all the way l'shar Yerushalayim. Let's see the Radak. Pasuk Yudeis. Hi chala l'toiv. Chala inyone k'chil u'che'ev. So right off the bat, Radak is learning like the Mitzudais. The word chola, he learns to tremble. Gam zeb derech lashon hakina shein behepech masha hoyu. Ki ra behepech hatoiv. Ra is the opposite of toiv. V'omar ki yoshev, so he's saying over here is that the people who are ki chola, so let's go back and understand what he's trying to say. He's saying the word chola means to tremble. And it's the opposite, behepich mashehoyu. It used to be, he's not learning, I mean, I take that back, he seems to be saying pretty much the same thing as the Mitsudo started. The people who once upon a time were blessed with toiv are now suffering immensely because the toiv has been taken away and has been transformed lira. Who are the people? V'amar ki yosheves morois ko eves bavur hatoiv shayula. Exactly like we said, the people of morois. He learns like the mitzudos. The word morois means the name of a city. Is in pain because it has been denied of its blessing. Balvur atav shachayu lov yato ki yard rab miyes Hashem l'shar Yerushalayim kiloymar ad shar Yerushalayim kimo shamarnu l'mala ad v'loy ad b'chlal. Radak is saying an idea that he has said before. We're now discussing the time of the Malchus of Yisrael, and Melech Ashur has exiled the Aseres HaShvatim and is now coming to destroy Yerushalayim. But he will not succeed. He will come into the gates, but he will not be able to destroy the city. Ad v'loy ad b'chlal, not including Yerushalayim. Ad shara mi ad Yerushalayim, k'mo shebirashnu v'yomar me'es Hashem v'sonu lo'ymar, ki ara habo aleim im derech mikre. This is not a coincidence. Ela oynesh avaynon. Everything that we always have a hard time really accepting that as a fact, that everything that happens in Israel is b'hashkocha pratis, there is no such thing as a coincidence. And over here he now says, the Targum, Yonos and Tigim, Arei de Havos Yospa al Shafar Ara. They used to, in the past, live in the Shafar Ara, Toif. He's coming to explain those similarly, that what does it mean, the word Toif? And he says the word Chola, a third translation, is to live. Okay, so the word Chola, where do we have the word Chola in reference to into residing? Let me see if the Mefarshim say where we have that word. The word Chola can also mean Lashon of Chal, Chalois. That's more of an Aramaic word. Okay, but there is a Hebrew word. Does the Malbim, over here say? Okay. It appears that the Malbim is saying the word Chola means to live. Okay, in Aramaic, one of the very popular yeshivish words, okay, in the B'nai Yeshiva is achalois. You ever hear that word before?
Yes.
It's achalois. Achalois kedushin. Achalois kedush. Achalois tamura. Okay, it's an abused word. Okay, it's abused. It needs therapy, this word. Everyone likes to abuse this word. Achalois. You have an object and you say that it's kodesh, so it comes to rest. It's chal
it's
upon.
Valid.
It's what?
Valid.
Valid?
It's valid.
It's true. True? It's
authentic.
It's more than that. It's chal. It comes to rest. The way it's used
in the. Right, there's something in chal lios
b'shavah. Oh, very excellent. Very good. If Rosh Hashanah. Shechal lihiyois b'Shabbos. Rosh Chodesh, Dr. Fruchter, you back? Tomorrow, okay. Baruch Hashem, Baruch Hashem. It's a good sign. Okay, Chal means Rosh Hashanah. Shechal lihiyois b'Shabbos. What does that mean? It falls out. It comes to rest. Rosh Hashanah can be on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, whatever it can be. It happens to be. It came to rest. It took up residence. It's living. It's resting. Ki cholo l'toiv yosheves morois. The people of Morois used to have a good life. They used to live. It fell upon them. It fell upon them a good mazel. A mazel that everything always worked out for the best. But no more, because Hashem's patience ran out. This appears to be the way the Targum Yonason is translating the word Choloist. Look at the word he writes over here. Arei, because, being that, the Havos Yosva. Yosva means to dwell. And he's using the word Yosva as a translation for the word Chola, which comes from what we say Chal. Rosh Hashanah Shechal Yos B'Shabbos. And Al Shefar Ara, Letoiv, the best. The Jewish people were blessed to be living in the most beautiful part of the world, the best part of the world, spiritually and physically. But because they have rebelled against Hashem, no more. Now they're going to go into exile. Umisabra, Latov. And now it's going to. So he's saying over here, I don't really understand what he's saying. He's contradicting himself because now he has a new trailer. So that means to hope. Saboris. Sabr means to yearn. to yearn for good. Now he's shifting gears, and he is giving us the parish of Rashi. So I don't know what's going on over here. He starts by telling us Cholol L'Toy means they're living in a good land, and then he says they're hoping for good. Saboris, say that in the end of davening. People ever say that? And Lishuasa Kivisi Hashem Lisaboris Lishuasa Kivisi Hashem Kivisi Hashem. You say it all three ways, and then you say it, and you say in Aramaic, Saboris, I yearn for your salvation. Saboris means to yearn. So here he shifts gears. Umisabra Litov Umisabra Limsav or Leora. And they desire to live in Le'oy Roysa. And what is the word? What does it mean? What does it mean? Le'oy Roysa? I don't know. Ma tavdun arei nechosa bishta. What has happened? Has come to rest. Bishta min kadam Hashem le'me'al b'sare Yerushalayim, to come upon the gates of Yerushalayim. Okay, I'm not sure the exact translation. But you cannot deny the fact that he does use the word Yosva al Shafar Ara, which means the best. And then he shifts gears and he says it means to yearn for good. He seems to be saying that there are many layers of interpretation here in this pasuk. In the process, he has brought out the possibility of a third translation for the word Chola. Okay, well, we'll leave it with that. We'll leave it with so far that we have three possible translations for the word chola. Either it means to tremble, chil, chil, v'chalchola, v'tischalchal hamalka ma'od, or it means to yearn, or it means to rest. And you have to manipulate the word litoiv based upon the translation of the word chola. Let's now look at the Malbim, Pasuk Yudbeis, ki chola, Mivoer, Madua lo yotza Yosheva Sanon Vialmi Botru Mami Botru. He's coming back to address a question in the previous Psukim. The previous Psukim had a question that when the Jewish people, they went into exile, they passed through a city called Tsanon, a region in Eretz Yisrael called Tsanon. And the people living in Tsanon did not come out to greet, to commiserate with the people who went into exile. Okay, that was what it says before. Question, why not? So the truth is, we already discussed this. We mentioned this in the Radak, and the Radak said the reason why they did not come out to greet them is because they have their own problems. They recognize that very, very soon they are next. They were depressed. They were tormented. So you can't really blame them. Okay, they see people being rounded up to be killed, to be taken away, and they know that tomorrow they're on the list. So what do you want? We should come out and say, oh, don't worry, everything's okay, we'll daven for you, we'll pray for you. Tomorrow we're coming with you. So we'll see you tomorrow. So that's why the people of Tsanon did not come out to commiserate, to offer their support to the people that were going into exile. That was what we learned until now. The Malbim is saying something different. The Malbim is saying the reason why they're not coming out is because they couldn't care less. It's your problem, not our problem, which obviously is a very not nice thing. Let's see how he puts in the words. Why didn't they come out? It's because it's not our problem, it's your problem. What does that mean? Hainu, tsanon, shemorso, v'leirotso, lihimoser, biyado oyev. They were rebellious. They had arms. They were going to fight. They looked at the other people in Eretz Yisrael and said, you're fools. You go like sheep. Why don't you have an uprising? How do you let the enemy just come into your territory and round you up, put you in a ghetto, starve you, kill you, do what they want to you? You have a lot more people than they do. Why don't you fight? Why don't you get up and fight? Right?
Are you trying to compare this to
World War II? Well, I'm not doing nothing. That's what he's saying over here.
I mean,
he's saying over here. We know that's a foolish. We know that's a foolish thing to say, because we know that's been proven a thousand times over that statement is just a bitter statement, because the psychological warfare that the Nazis engaged in was overwhelming, and numbers of people don't make a difference, and it's not only among Klal Yisrael, it happens throughout the entire world. Okay, we're not going there. But right now over here, the Maal over here is saying, is addressing a difficulty. In the previous psukim we learned, the people of Tzadon did not come out to commiserate with the people who were going to exile. Why not? And his words are, because they had confidence that they're better. You are fools. You're just being rounded up. We are going to fight. We have confidence in our koichi v'oitzem yadi. And he explains, they were rebellious. They were rebellious. They were refusing to let themselves be given over into the enemy. They yearned for good. An army from Yerushalayim will come to help them. They had friends in high places that would come to their assistance. They rebelled, and they did not open up the wall to allow the enemy in to enter, to surrender. And now we're going to explain as we go on to the psukim why the misbeit, which in this context means the tragedy, affected them as well, and their plans were not realized. And the answer is, Kiz Yorad Ro Me'es Hashem L'Shar Yerushalayim Sha'al Yidei Hashgachas Hashem Yorad Ro L'Yerushalayim V'lo Yochel L'Shleh Chai L'Azol L'Vnei Tzanon. Who were they hoping would save them? The army of Yerushalayim. But the army of Yerushalayim was defeated. So no one's coming to your rescue. I remember when I was a child, I once saw one of these, I don't even know who it was, whoever was the author, about this this little show where there was a prisoner who wanted to break out of jail, and he negotiated with the gravedigger. People would die in prison, right? They would die in prison. So when they would die in prison, there was a bell. I remember this, my Gears of the Yankusa. Okay, someone would die in prison, so the bell would ring, and there was a person who worked in the prison, a nice elderly fellow that would take the dead body and would bury it in the prison, and would take it out for burial in the cemetery, wherever the cemetery was. So this prisoner had a great idea. The next time the bell would ring, he would go to where the coffin is, where the dead body was held, the morgue, and would jump into the coffin. And then when the custodian would take the coffin to be buried, they would take it out of the grounds of the prison, outside the prison, to a cemetery, to bury the dead body. And he would be in the coffin. And the gravedigger, in the middle of the night, would come and open, would dig up the grave, and he would escape from prison. So he negotiated with the custodian who took care of the dead people this plan. Next time the bell rings, I'm going to jump into the coffin, and then you're going to take the coffin out to bury in the cemetery, and then in the middle of the night you're going to come to the cemetery, you're going to dig up the grave and open the grave, and I'll go free and I'll give you $1 million, whatever it is. So the plan was perfect. The bell rang, he jumps in, goes into the morgue, wherever it was, he jumps into the coffin, he lies down, and then not that long after, he feels the coffin moving. They're taking the coffin outside of the prison facility into a cemetery far away, and he gets the sense they're burying the coffin's going down, and it's being buried, and they cover, and then he's waiting, it's night, waiting, and no one's coming. So what does he do? He had a match. He had in his pocket. Somebody was able to smuggle a match. He lights a match, and he looks who's in the coffin with him. The gravedigger himself. The custodian was the one who died. He was the one who died. And he's in the grave with him, so no one's coming. No one's coming to open up the grave to dig him out of 6 feet under the ground. That's exactly... Exactly. It's like a Twilight Zone type of story. That's exactly, it was so good. I cannot tell you how delicious it was when I saw that. And at the end, you know, that last thing, he lights the match and he looks and who's there with him. And the realization, okay, of what happened, it was fantastic. Well, the truth is, that's exactly what's happening over here. That's exactly the story over here, according to the Parish of the Malbim. You have a city called Tzanon. Tzanon is sitting pretty. They're sitting in their homes, and they see outside their window Jews, the Acheinu Bnei Yisrael, being led naked, marching into Galus. And they're not doing nothing. They're just saying, it's good that it's not us, and we're better, we're smarter than these people, because we knew this was going to happen, so we negotiated with our friends in high places in Yerushalayim, where they have a real fantastic army, that when Sanhedrin comes for us, they're going to protect us. And then, guess what happens? Sanhedrin comes for them. So where is the army of Yerushalayim? Guess what? There is no army of Yerushalayim. Because the army of Yerushalayim already has been conquered by Sanhedrin. So this, that they put their confidence and their faith in Yerushalayim, did not work all out that well for them, because Yerushalayim at this point in time was already defeated and there was nothing that they can do for them. Okay, that concludes the Mitzudos. Let's now go to the next Pasuk. That's the Malbim. Next Pasuk is Pasuk Yedimel. Rissoim Hamer Kava. Okay, so Rissoim is the tie-up. Hamer Kava. Okay, well, there are going to be many perushim over here what this means. We'll learn now, and very simply means tie up the chariot. Lorechesh to rechesh. Rechesh means the people who are very swift. Okay, lorechesh means the animals that are very, very swift. In other words, you're going nowhere. Yosheves lochish. Those that dwell in the city of Lochish, through the Pasuk. Reishis chatasi levasiyain. She was the first one to sin for tzion. Kivach nimsu, and you were found the pishe Yisrael. Let's see the mitzvahs immediately. Pasuk Gimel. Resoim ata you ata. I'm sorry, ata you adas lochish kishor es hamer kavo el horechesh shem kali hameroitz lirkoi bo livroyach mimnei hoyeda. He's learning here. It means that you should dispatch your hitch to the horses. He learns here that you should move. Rissoi means to tie the chariot to the animals that gallop very quickly. So the rechesh means the horses that are very swift, and the merkava means the chariot. Tie, bind the chariot to the horses. Who? The people who live in Lachish. Because they're coming, try to escape. Because the enemy is coming for you. Why you first? Continue the mitzudos. Ato adas lochish kishor es hamerkava el harechesh shehim kali hamerots. The rechesh means the animals, the horses that gallop very quickly. Lirkoi bol livroyach mibnei ha'oyev, to try to escape. The gamhu l'shoy neifel al loshon. All in this entire perek, we've learned over and over how Micha is very poetic. He's always looking to match up words. Kirechesh v'lochish k'reim ba'lashon. These two words are very similar in sound, phonetically. The next words are reish eschatas kihi reish eschatas levasiyin ritzon elaymar ki limda techila avodas apesel la'ansheitziyin. The people of Lachish were the teachers of avodah zarah tziyin. Kivach b'lochish nimsu pisile aseres hashvatim. So here is something very, very disturbing, and that is the Aseres HaShvatim influenced the people of Yerushalayim. It's bad enough to do an Avera on your own in your basement where no one is watching when you're dressed in black clothing. But to go and promote Averos and to teach other people how to do Averos is a very, very grave sin. As we mentioned many times in the rules of Chinuch, any book you open up that talks about the laws of chinuch and yeshivas and guidelines, there are many, many different opinions of different techniques. But everyone is of the opinion across the board that if there's a student who is in trouble, And he's influencing other students. He's teaching them how also to make trouble, how to do averois. That is a cardinal sin, which across the board in the laws of chinuch, this student has to be dismissed. Or extreme measures must be taken when one student teaches other students how to do averois. If a student does an avera and he doesn't bother anyone, so most of the time you'll hear, so as long as he doesn't bother anyone, he wants to misbehave, he wants to make trouble, do averos, just don't be an influence upon other students. But when a student goes so far to influence, then you got a real problem. That's exactly what the Pasuk of here is saying. The people who live in Lachish, they were from the Aseres HaShvatim. The Aseres HaShvatim had nothing to do with the Malchus of Yehuda. They were completely separate. Okay, they were not even allowed. There was a wall. Okay, there were centuries. Okay, there was complete separation between these two kingdoms. There was civil war. So mind your own business. If you want to go to Avodah Zarah in the Malchus of Yisrael, no one's stopping you. Just don't go and teach the people, your fellow Jews living in Yerushalayim, living in the Malchus of Yehuda, your methods, your techniques, your Avodah Zarah. Don't export your Avodah Zarah to other members of Klal Yisrael. And unfortunately, the people of Lachish did so, and that's why here Micha is singling them out for punishment. Let's see Rashi.
If you look at page 9:13, Lachish and Yerushalayim are in Yehuda.
Lachish, page 9:13, is Yerushalayim. And we see Lachish. Let me see, where's Lachish?
I see it.
Yes, I see it. Okay, you're making a very good point. I don't know the answer. I don't know. It's in the Malchus of Yehuda, the southern portion of Eretz Yisrael. So why here is the Mitzvah saying here that Kibach in you belachish nimsu b'silei aseres. Maybe I'm making a mistake. And I'm saying is that the people of Lachish already brought in. Okay, maybe I'm making a mistake. I am making a mistake. That the people of Lachish, who are part of Yehuda, they on their own imported the Avodah Zarah from the Aseres HaShvatim, and now they're trying to teach other members of the Malchus of Yehuda to do Avodah Zarah. Okay, it's the same idea. They're teaching other people, but they are the ones who, they have it in their possession. Where did the main Avodah Zarah come from? It really all started with the people of Yisrael. There was no Avodah Zarah in Yehud until much later on. In the beginning, the first people to worship Avodah Zarah in Klal Yisrael was the Malchus of Yisrael. And here we find already it crept into, it already penetrated the Malchus of Yehuda. And now the people of Lachish, or part of Yehuda, are trying to promote it further to other members of Yehuda. Let's take a look at Rashi. Rashi, Pasuk Yudale, Pasuk Gimel, back on the previous page, says, Rusayim ha-merkava l'rechesh. Ishruach ha-merkava l'rechesh. The word Rusayim means to tie, to band, to tie together. The chariot, l'rechesh, shu kal l'rutz v'tibruchu. Hashem here is saying to them, listen, you did averos, but you're still good people. Try to escape. Escape! You have an opportunity. Period. The Omar Dunash, one of Rashi's colleagues, Rashi quotes him very often. Shu lashon arbi. The word resoim is not a Hebrew word. It is arbi, an Arabic word. Okay, arbi, an Arabic word, and somehow we do find not so uncommon words from Arav are injected into the text. Why do we choose that word here? I don't know. The other words, why don't say Isru? Just say the word Isru Hamer Kavala Rechesh. Why do we need to come on to a word from Arav? I don't know, but that's how what Dunash says. Let's see now the Ma'radak, Pasuk Yud Gimel, Risoim Gamzel Lashon Afla Lashon Rechesh Velochish Kroivim are Belashon. Risoim Lefi Mikoima Inyanai Esar. The Radak says trouble. This word, I really don't know what it means. There is no precedent. And when there is no precedent, we have the rule of thumb. The word is translated based upon its context. And the context here is clearly to tie together. We have a chariot and we have creatures that move very quickly. So it's very clear that the word resoi means to put the two together. The wagon should be hitched to the horses. Based upon the context, that's what this word means. He's not telling us the Radak, that it's Hebrew. He's not telling us that it's Lashon Aravi. He's just saying, I don't have a makar, but lefi mikoymoi, the context, in yanoi esar to tie. V'chein tirgim yonason, v'chein tirgim yonason, zachar yonason tirgim, tikusu resifim remoi al richsha. I'm assuming the word tikusu means to tie. Okay, I'm assuming the word tikusu means to tie, to bind together the chariots. Okay, next, l'rechesh, k'moy rech v'harechesh. Rechesh means those who ride upon these special animals. V'ibehema kala ha'halicha k'lema maharu la'golus, swiftly go into exile. Now, he's saying something very different than what was said in the Rashi. According to the Rashi, Rashi says there's some hope. People of Lachish, you're bad people. But you know something? Hashem is having rachmanis. I'm giving you a golden opportunity to escape. Escape! Escape! It's not going to be pleasant, but at least you'll survive. According to the Radak, it's not what it's saying. It's saying is, you're not escaping. You're going into Golus. And you're going very quickly. You're going to be from the first. It's not an expression of an opportunity to have a good life somewhere else in this world. You are going into Golus, and we're just being poetic in describing that the Golus that will come upon you will be very swift, because you are sinners. You are deserving of sin. Okay, the next words, the Radak on the next page. Reishis chatos hi levasion. You are the first. Lachish hi me'ar Yehuda, as Dr. Friedman pointed out, it's from Yehuda. It's on the southern portion of Eretz Yisrael. It was the first people to sign up for a course in idolatry. Okay, there was the college of idolatry in the Malchus of Yisrael. There was a sale, a discount, grants, special government grants available. Anyone that wants to join the college will get free a scholarship to learn about the ways of Avodah Zarah. And who signed up? The people of Lachish. They were the first ones. Ki achav heichel la'avoid haba'olim. The one who invented the Baal was, not the inventor, but the one that embraced it. The first one in the wholesale in Klal Yisrael embraced Baal was Achav. What? Baal existed by Yitzias Mitzrayim. They nichecho sachanu Baal Tzofoin. Baal Tzofoin. Baal existed in the time of Yitzias Mitzrayim.
Leader of
Klal Yisrael that embraced Baal. Ki Rav Mlo Avar HaBaal Ela Achav. Heichel Ba'avoidas HaBa'olim. This is a very important piece of information. It's not all the same. Yeravam ben Nevat, he created the Eglei HaZahav. He split off from the Malchus of Yehuda. The people needed an outlet to express their spiritual needs. But he couldn't let them go to Yerushalayim, because then you know, his malchus may fall apart. He was afraid. So what did he do? He made his own Beis HaMikdash. One in Beisel, one in Dan, and you need something to serve as the centerpiece in the Beis HaMikdash. He created Eglei Zav, golden calves, no different than the Egel HaZav, the time of Moshe, Aaron, of when Moshe came down from Har Sinai. Unbelievable, right? It's like,
how do they fall for it?
It's not. I have no idea. How do they fall? How could they just receive the Torah? And 40 days later, Moshe comes down, they're dancing around an eagle? Out of your mind?
No, but that was.
Right. Oh, what do you mean, no? What did you just say? Right. What did you just say? That you can understand? We're brainwashed.
Yeah.
Right? We're brainwashed. So now when we hear something new that we have not heard before, it's like, how are they so foolish? And the other thing, they would do that. It just was so used to it. Okay, but when you think about it, obviously there's something going on that we really, really don't understand.
Just call him Rav
Ashi. What?
Call him Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi didn't understand how.
How they worship the ego.
And then he found out.
Okay, whatever it is, it is. This is so. This is a very important piece of information. Yerubbaal Nevo, when he split for the Malchus of Yehuda, and he made his own Malchus, and was afraid that people would go to the Oil Regal and realize that the only real Malchus is the Malchus of David, and would reject his authority, so he came up with this very, very vicious plan to set up a border, sentries. No one is allowed to go to Yerushalayim, and if you have a need to an outlet for your spiritual needs, I'm going to make for you a spiritual outlet. You're going to go to my Beis HaMikdash in Basel and Don, and there'll be plenty of parking. We'll have all the amenities that is necessary, and the item of worship will be an Egel HaZav. Okay, we have a tradition to worship an Egel HaZav. Time of Mount Torah, right? That's what he decided to do. Achav was much later. Achav was his successor. And by that time, people already got bored of the Egel HaZav and they needed some new excitement. And he is the one that introduced Baal. What is the difference between the Baal and Egel HaZav? I have no idea. But it's obviously a very different type of Avodah Zarah. We find this in Egypt as well. Because when Klal Yisrael, when they left Egypt, it says there in the Pasuk that Hashem destroyed every single idol in Egypt was destroyed. Vayas Bohem, it says there in the Pasuk Mishpatim, Chazal say that Egypt was filled to capacity, crowded with idols, and they were all destroyed miraculously the night of Makas Bechoris. And then they leave Egypt, and Hashem says at some point in time, I want you to go backwards, and I want you to go to the church of Baal. There was a church outside of Egypt, not part of Egypt, on the road.
It wasn't their
religion. It was a church of Baal, called Baal Tzifayin. And Paro, when they came back and they told him that the Jews have stopped off by the church of Baal, and Paro looks around his country and he sees that every single idol has been smashed to smithereens, and the Jews are now going and worshipping, are going to Baal, this thing called Baal. Oh, it must be that Baal is the real deal. And that became a whole new issue in Avodah Zarah. So here we have the same thing. What goes around comes around. The more things change, the more they stay the same. The Jews start with the Egel, and then when they get bored of the Egel, there's always another Avodah Zarah, and that is Baal. And that's exactly what Achav did. And who's the one that started with this? It was Achav, and Achav in the Malchus of Yisrael, and it spread to Lachish. And however, there was an exception. The Yoshve Lochish Lomdu Avoidas Haba'olim mi Yisrael Vizel Shamar Ki Boch you in Lochish Nimsu Pishe Yisrael. Not the Pishe Yehuda. Lachish is Yehuda, not Yisrael. So what does this mean? It means they had a colony. Okay, an embassy. An embassy of the Malchus of Yisrael was in Yehuda, where they worship Baal. Perish Bach Nimsu Techila V'Nispashin, and then it's from there it spread by Eretz Yehuda. And it spread. Okay, well, maybe we finish up, not really, because there's too much of a Malbum too. So tomorrow we have to do the Malbum on Pasuk Yud Gimel, and that will pick up tomorrow.